Well, I'm Big Mac. I've been married to the brain for 29 years. And I'm a subject of most of the books and the DVDs if you want to get them. Now, you see, we're going to have slides for you and we've got props. It just reminds me, Pastor Donnie, of this pastor down the road from you was preaching one Sunday and he decided to emphasize his preaching with some props and he had four bottles. And in the one bottle he put alcohol, in the other he put cigarette smoke, the other some chocolate, and the other some earth outside, and he put a worm in each of them. And while he was preaching, the earth that was circulating in the alcohol died, the earth that was circulating in the cigarette smoke died, the earth that was circulating in the chocolate died, but the earth that was moving around in the earth, the worm, sorry, that was moving around in the earth, kept moving. And eventually he finished the sermon, so he asked the lady in the back, what is the meaning of this whole sermon? What did you get out of it? She says, well, it seems to be that if you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms.
Good morning, everyone. Nothing like a bit of healthy laughter to improve your brain intelligence. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and I am very, very honored and blessed to be the mother of four amazing children. One of them is over here, Jessica. She works for us, and our others are, two of them go to UCLA, and that all four live in LA. So we live half here and half in Dallas, but actually we live more in an airplane and hotels than anywhere else because we travel like 5 days a week. So it's any excuse to come to California is also really lovely because we always see our kids, so it's wonderful. Anyway, lovely, beautiful day today, and I'm really thrilled to be able to share in the beauty of your brain on this beautiful day. You know, I'm a cognitive neuroscientist, and I've been studying the human brain and specifically the mind-body connection for the last 30 years. And one of the things that really is prevalent today in a special way is mother's love, or loving our mothers, loving each other. And you know, research shows that when you immerse yourselves in an environment of love and you immerse others in an environment of love, you actually change all 75 to 100 trillion cells of your body. So right now, as you're reaching out in love to others, you are changing the environment of your own cells, you're changing your own brain chemistry, as well as the ones that you're reaching out to in love. You see, we're made in the image of God. We designed to reflect his glory. We are bearing his image, so we're supposed to be operating in love. And in fact, scientists have found that we are wired for love. Nobel Prize winning researchers have actually made that comment that we're wired for love, but we learn to fear. So fear is not natural, and as the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. So on the stage, you'll see, if you've never seen me teach before, and this is the first time you'll see, I always have the setup. We're on the stage. I have on the left side of me, I have green, like a little healthy green tree, pretty flowers. And on this side, you'll see a wiry tree. This represents toxic thinking. This represents healthy thinking. This represents the love zone. And this represents the fear zone. These are two opposite spiritual forces that cannot coexist. As I've just said from the words, from the scriptures, perfect love casts out fear. So what science has shown is that we are wired for love. So that means that this zone over here is our normal, natural zone. Everything about your brain and your body is designed and wired for love. So you actually have to learn to operate in this zone. You have to wire that in. So if you wire it in, you can wire it out. And that's the beauty of bringing all thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus and renewing the mind. So as a scientist and as a therapist for 25 years, and I still do research, the most important thing that I can teach you today is the following. You need to set up a constant internal dialogue with the Holy Spirit in order to keep yourself aligned in the love zone. This is your normal, this is your default, not that one. And in order to stay in this zone, we need to constantly be communicating with the Holy Spirit. So it's very clear in the scriptures that this is what we're supposed to be doing, because the Bible says bring all thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus, not just some thoughts now and then that you feel like, but every single thought that you think, which is around about 30 to 60,000 a day, you are supposed to be bringing into captivity to Christ Jesus to renew them, align them with your wired for love, perfect you design, in order to make the right choices. You see, you're a thinking being made in the image of a thinking God. Oh, did you get the slide up of the kids? Sorry, I'm talking about four kids. Okay, there we go. If we can put up the next slide as well. Thank you. If you can put up the, thank you. There we go. Okay, so you are a thinking being made in the image of a loving, thinking God. You are designed to do what the scriptures say. This is your normal, your natural. You are called to pray continuously. So this means from science, we find that in your conscious moments, and you have an unconscious mind and a conscious mind, and I'll explain a little bit more about that as we're going along, but your conscious moment, which is when you're awake, you are actually consciously aware of things going through your mind, listen to this, 6 times a minute. So this is according to research. On a non-conscious level, just before you're aware of those 6 times a minute, 40 times a second, you have conscious spurts of energy flowing around your non-conscious mind, gathering up the thoughts that you need that will help you to understand the incoming information. So you listening to me now, there's information coming in through your brain and through your eyes, you're hearing things, you're seeing things, you're experiencing things through your 5 senses, and that moves into your mind, and your mind goes into action. Mind in action means that you are thinking and feeling and making choices up to 6 times a minute about what you are hearing, thinking, and feeling. So everything that's coming in, you are thinking, feeling, and choosing about this information, and you are, as you are doing that, you are actually influencing the way that your genes express in your cells. So in your cells, you have your DNA, and your DNA has got the gene code, and as you are thinking, as you're doing this mind in action, as you're doing this thinking, feeling, and making choices in response to the signals coming in through your 5 senses, as you do that, you cause genetic expression. And as you cause genetic expression, that means that you make amino acids, which means that those amino acids are going to do something. And in your brain, they group together and they form little protein structures, which are called thoughts. So thoughts are real things that occupy mental real estate. So your thoughts, you actually build through how you respond to life. So your responses to life are going to be imprinted physically in your brain, and therefore, as you are thinking, feeling, and making those choices, you are changing the structure of your brain. So you are able to design your brain. You have a designer brain. You design your brain either in the love direction, which is the normal, natural. So when you make good choices, you're then going to be operating in your correct mode, which is your, I call it the perfect you mode. And then you're going to have health in your brain, and whatever goes on in your brain is going to influence your body. Every thought, as you are thinking it, instantaneously, faster than the speed of light, way faster than the speed of light, at quantum speeds, at speeds of 10 to the 27, the thoughts that you are thinking right now are impacting and changing the brain chemistry of all 75 to 100 trillion cells of your body. Now, this is profound if you think of the fact that your mind has this kind of power to physically impact and change the structure of your brain and every single one of your cells and the entire functioning of your body. Now, not only do your thoughts have that kind of impact, because these thoughts that you build in your brain generate energy, and this energy impacts those that you are in relationship with. And also, your thoughts carry through to the next 4 generations through the sperm and the ova, and through basically our, so we have generational impact with our thoughts. So if you thought thoughts were harmless, think again. And this is why God tells us to constantly renew our mind. We are supposed to be, as it says in Romans 12, to renewing our mind. So there's a lot of continuity in and things that are happening on a constant basis in just those few scriptures that I have quoted. So we're supposed to be renewing our mind, not just now and then, but as a constant lifestyle. We're supposed to pray continuously. We're supposed to bring all thoughts into captivity to Christ Jesus. But I believe very few of us really do that. Do you, 6 times a minute, talk to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, how should you respond to that next thought that you have? What should you be thinking? What should you be feeling? What should you be choosing? What should you be saying and doing? Because everything that you think and feel will lead to a choice. The choice causes genetic expression. You build the thought. And so in other words, that thought captures what you physically, the thought is captured physically and structurally inside of your brain. That then becomes the root of what you say and what you do. So everything that you say and do is not some random event. Everything that you say and do was first a thought that you built inside of your head. So we look at the scriptures, then we have a love power and a sound mind. We do not have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of love, power, and soundness. So your normal default mode is this, but you have to choose, because you have free will, to step in and align with your perfect you and connect into who you are. And this is not a now and then event. If you are serious about God, then you are serious about seeking after His holiness, without which you will not see the Lord. This is not a game. This is a serious thing. You are an image bearer and a steward of creation. You are supposed to be recognized whose image you are bearing. He's not a genie. God is not some genie out there to just do your will. He is God. God is God. God is huge. I mean, we recognize the hugeness of God. We will recognize the need that we have to stay in our love zone, in our perfect you zone. You know, the scriptures in Ecclesiastes 7:29 say that I made them virtuous, which means perfect. I made them perfect, but they choose to go down their own pathway. So when we're not thinking of these things, if you're not fixing your mind on these things, you are living in that zone, and you choose, because God has given you the ability to think, feel, and choose. You have free will. Deuteronomy 30:19, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose. Choose. Free will exists. It's not an illusion, as is very often said in the world of materialistic science today. Materialism basically says that we don't have free will. We're basically biological automatons. And you're not a biological automaton. You're not a robot. God did not make you a robot. He could have if he wanted to. God's God. But he didn't. He made you a thinking, intelligent being in his image. We need to use our minds. We need to use our intellect to listen to the Holy Spirit so that we can make the right choices and reflect his glory and be stewards of the creation that we designed to be. So let's have a look to understand this in a little bit more depth. You are a triune being. You are spirit, soul, and body. You have a spirit, you have a soul, you have a body. You have a look up on the screen there. You'll see there's a breakdown there for you. Your spirit is your intuition, where the Holy Spirit speaks to us, your conscience, right and wrong, and your communion, which is the desire for the connection to God. You see, we are wired for love, and we find that in the human brain is designed to be consumed by love. It's also called an optimism bias. We have a natural leaning towards this side of the stage. We have a natural leaning towards love. So we are actually designed to be addicted to God. Addiction is not a bad word. Addiction means consumed by. And we are wired for love, designed to be consumed by God. So that natural pulling towards God is like gravity. If I walk off the stage, I'm going to fall. If I drop this computer, it's going to fall. Gravity attracts. We are pulled towards God, like the law of gravity is an example, as a metaphor of how we are drawn towards our normal, perfect you nature and towards God. So this desire for communion with God is inherent in every fiber of our being and is never satisfied with anything except God. So we can, if we do not turn our addiction to God, it will shift to the wrong addiction in this zone through our own choices. Then we have chosen to go down our own pathway, and there are dire consequences of that, as we see in the world today. And we see in our own lives when we make the wrong choices. Research shows that when we live in this zone or choose to operate in the fear zone, where we build toxic structural changes inside of our brain, toxic thoughts, we increase our vulnerability to illness and disease by 75% to 98%. So this is where disease zone resides. And we, when we live in that zone or choose to step into that zone, because you don't fall into that zone, you choose to step in that zone, or you choose to step into that zone. Through our free will, through our choices, the way we respond to life, as we think, feel, and choose, we will live in either of these zones. The Holy Spirit is there waiting for us to choose to step into that zone. God's not going to come into this zone. You have to step into your perfect you zone. This is a choice that you have. Now, you have a love, power, and a sound mind. Power means you have the ability to change things. So you have the ability to change things with your powerful mind. So your spirit man, as is your intuition, your conscience, and your communion guiding us. And then you have your soul, which is your mind, which is your intellect, your will, and your emotions. What I already said, your thinking, feeling, and choosing. So literally your mind part is your thinking, your feeling, and your choosing. With your thinking, feeling, and choosing, you choose to follow God. With your thinking, thinking, feeling, and choosing, you choose not to follow God. With your thinking, feeling, and choosing, you choose to follow God on a moment-by-moment basis and bring all those thoughts into captivity, or you don't choose. Either way, there are consequences. As it so clearly says, I lay before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life so that not only you may live, but your descendants. Your choices have generational impact in every sphere of life. So science explains all of this. Science shows that if we look at the third part is your body, which is your brain and your body. Now science gives us a very good understanding of this triune being. Science is God's stuff. God made everything, and science is simply a description of the everything that God has made. So as we use the different types of sciences, so we are learning about God's magnificent creation, including our brains and our bodies that we live in while we're on this earth. So as we study things like neuroscience and engineering and chemistry and all kinds of all the incredible things that explain God's creation, we are worshiping God. When you use your brain, when you use your mind to change your brain, when you use your intellect, you are worshiping God, especially or specifically if it's connected to God. So science should be in the church because science is describing, as I've mentioned, all of God's creation. So we should have science as a way of understanding where the split came between science and Christianity, or spirituality and science, is crazy because God made everything. And science, the deepest things of science, point directly to God as the ultimate source of consciousness, the ultimate source of everything. God is always looking. God created everything. We know that as Christians, that is considered to be the hard question in science, but we know that God is the source of everything. So in this introduction type thing, 30 years ago, I asked this question. Can the mind change the brain? So when I started my research 30 years ago in the 80s, I asked this question. I was told it was a ridiculous question. Now it's not considered a ridiculous question, but it was in the 80s because they didn't believe the brain could change. So I work with all manner of patients, traumatic brain injury, autism, learning disabilities, dementias, you name it, emotional issues. And we were trained to teach our patients to compensate. In other words, their brain's damaged, that's it, just kind of teach them techniques to compensate and cope with life. Being a believer in the Word of God my entire life, my Christian walk has always informed my scientific walk. So therefore, I knew that that was wrong. That was not the message that I was going to deliver to my patients in my clinical practice. And that's why I started the research that I started doing at that point. And I initially started my research with traumatic brain injury, people that had severe traumatic brain injuries, and did lots with learning disabilities and all different types of people with issues where they are battling with communication because of some sort of thing going on inside of their brain or emotions or something like that. And what I consistently found was that when you deliberately and intentionally use your mind to think and feel and choose well, where you'd not just randomly react, but you in a deliberate way, you respond in the correct way, and you control your mind, you bring those thoughts into captivity, you discipline your mind, you grow your intellect. When you do that, you will change your brain in the correct direction. If you just go through life chaotically and haphazardly, just responding to all the buffeting that goes on in your head with all the chaotic thoughts as you respond, as you go through life, if you just react and you don't think it through and you don't bring those thoughts into captivity, if you don't slow down and be still and know that I am God and apply that in your life, you're going to wire a bunch of stuff in your brain that you do not want. You're going to be saying and doing a bunch of stuff that you do not want. And then you're going to be looking back, scratching your head and wondering, why am I sick? I believe in this holy God. I believe he's a God that heals. Oh, the devil must be attacking me. The devil's defeated. Read your Bible. That when Jesus rose from the cross, he defeated the enemy. The enemy is a defeated, powerless foe. Stop looking for demons on every doorknob. What we need to do is take responsibility for our thought life. The Bible clearly says that the enemy has no power. We have the power. God has given us the mind of Christ. We have phenomenal power in our mind to change our brain. So what I'm saying here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the mind is separate from the brain. The mind is in your soul part. Your mind is your soul. Look back at the previous slide. Your mind is your soul. Your soul, which is your mind, is your intellect, your will, and your emotions. Look at the third part. Your brain and your body are separate. Your mind is over and above your brain. Your mind controls your brain. Your mind changes your brain. Your brain is simply the substrate through which your mind moves. Okay, your mind uses your brain, and your brain is highly complex, and so it should be because you are highly complex. So the way your brain simply responds to how you are using your mind, and when you are operating in your perfect you nature, which is in your wired for love zone, this side of the stage, then you will be led by the Spirit of God, who will speak to the intuition and conscience of your spirit man, and you will be building communion with the Spirit of God, and then as you do that, that influence will come into your mind so that you will be intellectualizing, feeling, and choosing in alignment with your spiritual nature. And that means that your brain will look healthy and your body will look healthy. Now, your brain, your mind is separate from your brain. Your mind can change your brain. In the early 80s, late 80s, this was not accepted, but there were a few of us around the world doing this research. And by the mid-90s, with the advent of brain technology, like the fMRI machines, MRI machines, it was seen that, oh yes, the brain can change. With stimulation, the brain can change. And we call that neuroplasticity. Neuro meaning brain, plastic meaning to change. So this is so in alignment with the concept of renewing of the mind, Romans 12:2, because God says if you renew your mind, you change your life. So when you focus on those, on like the Philippians and scriptures, think on things that are true, healthy, wonderful, beautiful. If you do what the Bible says, get wisdom, get understanding, do not fear, all these things. When you do what God tells us to do, when you live the life of the model that Jesus Christ provided, what's going to happen? We are going to get our mind and our body in alignment with our spirit. And we're going to grow our spirit because it's going to be in alignment with the Holy Spirit. And then we start reflecting God's glory and bearing his image and bringing heaven to earth in the way that we were designed to do as stewards of this creation and the royal priesthood. So we have massive responsibility to function like we should, because we are believing in God, and the world is broken and lost and desperate and needing God. And how are they going to see God if we're walking around miserable, dejected, whiny, moany, sick, full of all kinds of issues, judging everyone, being harsh, critical, judgmental, nasty, having awful conversations with people, whining and complaining about everything? No one will want what you've got. If people are looking at you, and if people are not looking at you and saying, I'll have what she's having, I'll have what he's having, then there's something wrong in your life. It's time to stop, take stock, and bring those thoughts into captivity and start self-regulating. Your human brain is designed in such a way that you can stand back and observe your own thinking. Your human brain, the frontal lobe of your brain, is designed. God would never tell you to pray continuously, bring all thoughts into captivity, cast down those, pull down those strongholds, all the things that he tells us to do. He would never tell us to do it if he didn't design us able to do it. So as a scientist, I tell you today, your brain is designed to obey your mind. When you do what the Word of God says, the brain is designed to be able to do that. So what we have to do is use our brain correctly. So by using our mind correctly, how do you use your mind correctly? By choosing to listen to the Holy Spirit and renewing your mind. How often? All the time. More specifically, how often? 6 times a minute. There's your challenge for today and for the rest of your life. 6 times a minute. Are you talking to the Holy Spirit? Now, you may find it's pretty difficult in the beginning, but that's why you train yourself and you learn to renew your mind and you learn to discipline your mind. The scriptures in Psalms say, 7 times a day I will praise the Lord. There's a good starting point. Start with 7 times a day. Start with 7 times a day where you consciously, deliberately, intentionally self-evaluate. What are you saying? What are you doing? Wow, that's what you're thinking. Whatever you're saying and doing is what you built that thought. It didn't just pop out of your mouth or pop out of your actions. You took the time to build that and turn that into a habit. And what we know from research is that it takes 24 hours to, basically from now until the next 24 hours, you would have built a short-term memory. And then after that, to build a long-term memory takes 21 days, and after that, to stabilize and turn a memory into a habit takes 63 days. So in the second service today, I'm going to talk about that specifically, how we build healthy long-term memories that become good, healthy habits into our brain. But for now, I want you to understand the power of your mind to change your brain, to create your realities. You are always in a Genesis moment. Wow. You are always creating. Don't blame other people for the mess that your life is in. Look at yourself first. Now, I have to, for a moment, talk about trauma, because sin or missing the mark is voluntary. No one causes you to sin. You do. Read the scriptures, okay? You choose. But no one asks to be traumatized. So trauma is different to sin. But trauma looks the same as sin inside the brain. Because whenever we think and feel and choose and cause that genetic expression, we cause these proteins to form. When we make healthy choices, we build healthy thoughts. The proteins fold correctly. When we make unhealthy choices, we build unhealthy thoughts. The proteins fold incorrectly. And that's why I have this wiry tree. Because the thoughts that are toxic in your brain from wrong choices look different. The proteins fold differently. They have an incorrect electrochemical and quantum balance. The neurochemicals are incorrect. There's inflammation at that point. They're not supposed to be there. They are causing damage. So envy, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, all these things we're not supposed to do, that God tells us not to do, are causing neurochemical chaos and brain damage. Thank goodness for neuroplasticity. Because if we recognize, hey, that way of thinking is not the right way of thinking, as you self-regulate and recognize and acknowledge and confess and receive your forgiveness, you can rewire your brain. You can eliminate and get those out. You can cast those mountains into the sea. You can get rid of this stuff. But it takes work. It takes renewing of the mind. It takes you choosing to recognize the self-regulatory power that you have inside of you. So if you want to know more about the science, I did a TEDx talk. You can pick that up on TEDx or my webpage. I've got lots of information on my webpage. I have a TV show called The Dr. Leaf Show. We have tons of information. I mean, I'm speaking at the speed of light now, almost. And there's so much information to share with you. So you go and look at these resources. I have tons of books to help you. In other words, you've got no excuses. You came here today. Sorry, I'm about to tell you. You have no more excuses not to renew your mind. You've been open to a new way of doing it. We have to go out there and change the world. Okay, so just quickly to show you, I showed, proved, this is just a graph that shows a graphic that is a summary of basically, because I'm running out of time here, is a summary of all the, of one group of research I did working with people with learning issues and showing of all ages, showing them how if you deliberately and intentionally direct your mind, you are going to build new healthy memories. So if you can increase your intelligence, you can change, improve your social, emotional, cognitive, and behavioral and intellectual functioning. Isn't that great news? You're as intelligent as you actually want to be. The more you use your mind correctly, the more it grows. Intelligence is not static. Intelligence is when you connect into the Holy Spirit and you think correctly, you will grow your intelligence. So you see there where the graph increases in the third bar, that is showing prior to that is not using your mind, and then post using mind techniques that I'm telling you of, these kind of things that I teach that are in my books and DVDs and online programs, etc., you will improve your functioning between 35 to 75% minimum. And I'm talking about cognitive, emotional, social, intellectual, academic, on every level. When you do what God tells you to do and what He's designed you to do, guess what? You get benefits, major benefits. And they're not designed, you can look at the next slide, they're not designed to make you proud, they're designed to make you humble. Because when you recognize the power that God has placed within you, it is incredibly humbling. You see, intense mental effort reorganizes. So mental effort, thinking, feeling, and choosing, what you do with your mind, okay, changes the brain structure and patterns. You create matter out of mind. That is powerful. What kind of matter do you want in your mind? That's a question you have to ask yourself. If you do this ex-God, ex-the Holy Spirit, it's a mess in your mind. It will produce a mess in your life. It will produce mental ill health. Mental ill health is not a disease. Mental ill health is a disorder of our thinking, feeling, and choosing that has wired toxicity into our brain that has caused chaos. And as we are trying to, as we naturally are leaning towards our perfect you wired for love nature, so we try and restore the balance back to love, so we manifest with symptoms symptoms as we're trying to restore order. So no mental illness is a disease. It is a disorder, and because of the neuroplasticity of the mind, it can be changed. All those scary words like bipolar and schizophrenia, these are not diseases. These are not death sentences. These are not life sentences. These are things that are descriptions of things that are happening in our mind. What we need to do is immerse each other in love, like I started off saying, and as we immerse each other in love, we will have the courage to be able to actually start dealing with these things. We have a nonprofit called The Whole Mind, which Jessica runs, and in that we teach people how to do spirit, soul, body integration. If you want to know more about it, you can ask Jessica at the table. But we talk about plant a garden. Let's feed our bodies, because not only do we need to feed our minds the correct thing and our spirits, but we cannot live on a diet of Twinkies and pray that God's going to turn them into organic kale. It does not work. So we have to steward our brain and body by eating well, looking after the earth. If you don't eat real food, you destroy the earth. So we have the Whole Mind Project is an NGO that helps churches to plant gardens and to plant benches. Plant a garden, plant a bench. A bench is a mental health concept where you actually have this garden planted, you plant a bench, and we help churches to help themselves to learn how to listen to each other and immerse each other in love, because research shows if you want to get over issues, we are here to support and love and encourage each other. You don't need to medicate all thoughts into captivity. You need to bring all thoughts into captivity. And that starts with being immersed in an environment of non-judgmental love where you can talk to someone and share and love each other. So if you want to know more about that, Jessica's at the table. So your intentional and conscious powerful thoughts change your brain. Make sure they are God's thoughts. I'm going to end off with this two slides very quickly. The first slide you'll see is this is an actual human brain, a real live person, and I stress live because if you're dead, you will not have this happening in your brain. When you die, your spirit and soul are eternal, but your brain will go to dust and your body will go to dust. So this is a real person who's connected to very advanced brain technology, and they are thinking. And as they are thinking, the brain is firing up. What you are seeing, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you, mind in action. This is your thinking, your feeling, and your choosing that is firing up the human brain. And as it's doing that, it's as you think and as you feel, it leads to choice. Thinking and feeling leads to choice. Think, feel, choose. That's your intellect, your will and your emotions and your will. As you think, feel, and choose, so you cause genetic expression. So this, what you're seeing over here, is thinking, feeling, and choosing, and genetic expression happening. This is changing the structure of your brain. Moment by moment of life, as you experience life, you are in these Genesis moments where you are redesigning constantly the structure of your brain. What a gift from God that we are not bound by this, that you're not bound by your past or bound by your future. You create your future with or without God. And the last slide I'm going to show you is a slide of neurons in a petri dish, and these neurons are where we build our thoughts. So these tree-like structures that you see on the brain, the thoughts that I keep talking about, thoughts are the same as memories. As you think, feel, and choose, you cause the genetic expression and you build thoughts. So what you see on the screen is what you are doing right now as I'm speaking. You are processing my words. You are thinking, feeling, and choosing. Your mind goes into action like the previous slide, and as you cause genetic expression, so you are growing thoughts. And where do the thoughts grow? They grow on the tops of the neurons in your brain. You have 100 billion neurons in your brain, and the tops of the neurons have these tree-like little structures called dendrites, and that's where you grow your thoughts. You are able to design your thoughts and change your thoughts. So when we talk about renewing our mind, we are with our mind, we are physically changing our brain. I'll talk more about this in the next service. So just the last thing I want to say to you is that you are not a victim of your biology. You are a victor over and above your biology. God bless. Have a wonderful day.
Wow.
Thank you for listening to Red Chapel's podcast. It is our hope that you are inspired and motivated by the message that you have just heard. At Red Chapel, we are determined to create environments where people can experience life change. If you want to personally be part of that life change, submit a love offering at www.redchapel.org under the Donate tab. Your gift will change someone's life.